talking to someone last night, and they said, I said, yeah, Jesus is coming back soon. And the guy's probably an evangelist, but he said, yeah, well, we've got a lot of work to do. We want to get more people in the kingdom beforehand. Kind of, I do understand where he's coming from, and it's kind of true. You know, good, if we understood the consequences of not walking with Jesus, let's turn that around. If we really recognize the benefits and the overwhelming love and privilege we have to walk with Jesus, then we would want to tell other people. We'd want to tell those that we love about how amazing he is. Amen? So, Jesus is coming back soon. But we want to be people that shine like beacons. We want to be people that reach others for the Lord. And I don't mean in and of yourselves doing good works. What I mean is God shining from you because of the work that he's doing, because of how closely you walk with him. He shines in the darkness, whatever you're going through. In another sense, I'm also glad that God told us last month, was it last month? Yes, it was last month, just before we had the quick lockdown. He told us to keep our eyes fixed on him. I am so glad he said that, because I don't know about you, but I did obey. Not perfectly, but perfectly enough for him to count it to me as righteousness, in the sense of that I hit the mark, whatever the mark was that he had for me. And it was a challenge, and I'm not going to list the challenges, I actually can't be bothered. But it's been a challenging month. I will boast of them for the Lord's sake, just to show you, just so that you could know how great he is. But I'm just saying, last month was intense. It really was intense, and I thank God for that. It's been brilliant. I feel like I've received a promotion. Not that I've got another senior position anywhere, but you know what it's like when you go through a challenge and you know God's on it, and God didn't create all the challenges, but he's making the most of those opportunities. As you're going through it, it might feel like it's a test, but if you do the thing that God said or you apply the things that he taught, then it's going to work to your good. Thankfully, before this last lockdown, I had said to Carol, whatever we didn't do in the previous lockdown, which was dragged over a lot of months, if any challenges come, I'm going to do what the Lord told me I should have done last time. That was wisdom. That was wisdom that didn't come from me. That was wisdom that came from the Holy Spirit. So thankfully, we were able to apply what he had taught us previously. What a great opportunity. I can't believe the Lord shut the whole world down for us. No, the whole world, the whole of England. Just for us to do that. But thanks for bearing with us, guys. It was good. So yeah, like I said, not perfect, but perfect enough for him to count it as righteousness. And honestly, a privilege, an absolute privilege to walk with Jesus. You know, it makes it real when we are tested, when we go through things that prove what we teach. And I put myself in a very difficult position standing here and teaching you guys or bringing things to you, because there's no way God allows me to get away with it. Sometimes when something happens, maybe after I've shared with you guys, and Carol's like, what did you say that for? You know, because I'll be tested in it. And I might start to think to myself, why did I preach that? I should have deleted that sentence. Because God goes after it to make sure it's working in me. The best place to be is passing on things that I know are already working. That puts me in the safest position, because it's been through me, it's working, and I'm not going to have to go through the God's fast track system of getting that working. I like God's gentle system of getting things working. It's where it's in God's school, it's nice, it flows. But there is the fast track system. The fast track system is I tell you something that I'm not actually doing, and God says, oh, need to fix that this week. And that's a challenge. But I'm just saying, God is good, and I'm so glad he told us to keep our eyes fixed on him. Where else would we want our eyes? Now, I'm going to move around, because I think this area is safe, because if I've got it, we've all got it, because we're the same family. And I feel better when I'm moving around. We've got to keep our eyes fixed on him, because if they're not fixed on him, where else are they going to be fixed? What else are we going to look at? What else is important? This world is fleeting, guys. It really is falling apart. It's absolute rubbish and dregs. It's easy to say that when you've been through some trials and saw the mess of the world. But what I'm saying is, there is no comfort here. I actually even thought this morning as I was preparing the message, it was actually quite cold. It was freezing. I'm thinking, just think, I don't think when we get before the Lord, we might not even feel this cold anymore. We might not even feel like any... I know it's pathetic, isn't it? But what I'm saying is that this world, it doesn't have a lot to offer, really. Now, there are moments of special... There are special moments. There are moments of God where he intervenes and he does things. And people are lovely. Well, people, when God's got hold of them, they're lovely. Because people can be horrible too. So there are moments of God's shining brilliance in this life. But there's so much more to come. And I want to make sure, as one who stands before the Lord, that I give you the best opportunity to be ready when he returns. The weight of responsibility, the reverence, the sense, the things that God has been speaking to me about my attitude and my sin. And you might think, well, no, you're a good guy, Darren. And you're probably not thinking that, actually. Probably, yeah, we've got a list of your sins, Darren. When I think of how... Let's get the message. You'll understand what I'm saying. Let's get on with the message. 2 Corinthians. If you've got your Bibles, turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. By the way, this message won't be one of the easiest messages. It won't be that seeker-friendly. It'll have a little bit of spice in it, but it won't be too bad that you can't handle it. And it should be okay to handle if you don't like spice. Just drink lots of milk with it afterwards. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9 in the King James, there's a title above it. It says, "The Judgment Seat of Christ." Oh, this sounds like a brilliant message, Darren. Hallelujah. One minute he's talking about God's love. Next minute he's talking about the Judgment Seat of Christ. Therefore, it says in verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. "Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him." That him is God. You know, if this was the Apostle Paul's attitude, I believe it should be our attitude. That we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to him, well-pleasing to our God. Who else do we want to please? Do we want to please the people around us? Do we want to please the people that have got that are going to pat us on the back? Do we want to please the people that we have to keep happy all the time? Or are we going to please the one who is going to judge us in the end? Are we going to please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The God who absolutely loved us, proved his love for us. It was enough, the love that he proved for us. He didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk and he went to that cross for our sakes. Are we going to please that one, or are we going to please everybody else? It's a question we've got to ask ourselves. We've got to please the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is an amazing God and he's coming back soon and time is running out. And I'm not saying that to scare people, I'm saying it to encourage you. If time's running out, we've got to make the most of it. Let's do something with the time we've got left. Let's redeem it for the King's sake. Live a life that's pleasing to him. Hallelujah. He wants us to be pleasing to him. And there's no greater satisfaction in this life than being pleasing to him. You can't keep people happy all the time. It's impossible. But if you walk with God and do what he says, you can certainly be pleasing to him all the time. Amen. Sorry for shouting. I'm a little bit excited. Verse 10. "For we must..." Oh dear. "We must all..." Right, so that was there. "Pleasing to him." Why? "Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." That is a scripture, by the way. This is not Darren's latest idea. "That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Wow. I think that's pretty clear. That we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged about what we did in this life and what we did in these bodies. We're going to be judged about how we lived. We're going to be judged before the Lord. We're going to stand face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to, I don't know if it's eyeball to eyeball. I find that quite rude. I'd probably be on my knees and he'll be there and he'll be shining and he'll be radiant. And I probably could still see the holes in his hands where he was crucified for my sake. And he'll be there before us and we'll be looking at him, and I'll be looking at him, and we're going to have to give an account for our lives. We're going to have to talk to him about what we did in this body. And the thing about talking to him at that judgment seat, by the way, guys, please listen. It's a real judgment seat. It's a real thing that's going to happen. It's written way before I was even born. it's not just a nice story. There's got to be some reverence that comes to us that we recognize we're going to stand or fall before the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're face to face to Him giving an account, we're not going to be able to come up with our excuses. Well, this person didn't like it when I told them off, or this person didn't like it when they were disciplined, or this person didn't like it when someone sat in their seat, or you might think, well, this person, these people fell out with me when I really pursued God, or when I really sought Him, or they used to call me names like super spiritual, whatever. I don't know what it is, but them excuses when we stand before the Lord are not going to work, because He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to be standing before truth Himself. Before truth Himself. And maybe when people come to me, they have a great story about why they did something or why something may not apply to them. But that story won't line up with the King of Kings. You won't even dare try and lie to Him like you would lie to people around you. I'm not calling you liars, by the way. I'm saying we all sometimes have not taken a good look at ourselves and recognized what we're really like. But what I want to bring is some reverence. And it won't be like this going forward, but because we've got this opportunity today that isn't going live, I want to speak to Emmanuel Christian. The Lord wants me to speak to Emmanuel Christian Center. All the excuses, all the quick talk, all the reasons that you think you didn't have to walk with God, they're just going to melt away. I doubt you would even think them. Whatever the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says is going to be absolutely true. So because of this scripture, I believe none of us can say we didn't know, that we didn't know that we're going to be judged by God. And we kind of don't want judgment, do we? We think, well, I mean, it's a different type of judgment to us judging people. This is God judging us. It's given an appraisal of our lives. Annually, we do appraisals here for staff members, or that's the idea anyway. An appraisal, maybe, how are you doing, what do you think of us? I don't think it'll be like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. The appraisal will be one way. I don't think Jesus goes, and how has my management been going? And how is my dealings with you? Have you found my dealings with you? It's going to be like whatever he did was right. He's not a manager that's going to lose his position. That's it. It's final. He already has the name above every other name. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the appraisal's only going to be one way. So because of that, I want you to turn with me now to Matthew 25. We'll start with verse 14. It's the parable of the talents. Now, just to help you before we go further, the talents, just to help you, talents are a measure of something valuable. So a talent could be a commodity. Back in the ancient day, a talent could be a commodity. There was talents of silver and gold. And I want to put it to you like it's silver and gold. Money in some ways, but let's look at it as silver and gold. So talents are a commodity. We would trade nowadays in dollars or pounds, but then let's look at silver and gold. That's what it means. So when we say talents, we don't mean, look at Darren's talent. He can do tap dancing. I actually can't do tap dancing. It's not a talent I have. But the talent we're talking about here is a currency. It's money. It's silver and gold. It's not something I can do on BGT. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, 5 bags of silver and gold, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. Wow. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground, and he hid his Lord's money, or the silver and gold. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 other, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents besides. So he doubled everything. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you had to be hard. A hard man, you reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. He's given his talent back, the silver and gold back that he gave him. And his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. I don't know if he says it like that, but this just emphasizing it. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and you gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have at least deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, that ends with quite a somber or reverential verse. And remember that this isn't just me trying to be grumpy or horrible to you. This is the word of the Lord. I believe we've all been given talents. And I believe there's a day of reckoning coming. We've all been given gifts of gold and silver. Those gifts of gold and silver are everything the Lord Jesus Christ gave to you. Every piece of information and every piece of teaching. Every nugget, we call them nuggets. Oh, that was a nugget. Not that Darren's a nugget, or it might be. But like you hear certain things and you go, oh, them nuggets are just what we need. Oh, that line was what that preacher said was just so right. Oh, that thing I read in the book, that is for me. And all the while we're saying that was for me and that was the truth. And every time we say amen, you're going to be scared to say amen now. Every time we say amen, we're acknowledging to the Lord of the servants, who I believe is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're acknowledging to him that he has just deposited some silver and gold with us, that he's given us something that he wants to see a return on. There's going to be a day of reckoning when the Lord Jesus Christ looks at our lives and what we did with what we've been given. And the question today really is mainly about that. What are you doing with what he's given you? What are you doing? How are you investing the spiritual truths or the insight or the teaching or the input that God has given to you? How are you investing in those things? What are you doing with them? Because if you've done nothing, even if you just had everything on a piece of paper and you handed it back to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, here it is. Here's all the things I wrote down in Sunday messages. Here's all the things I read in books, watched on TV. Here's all the things that you spoke to me. I've written them down. There you go, Lord. It's like you're handing back to him the bag of gold he gave you with no return whatsoever. You're just giving him back what he gave you. What we want to do is be people who are faithful, people who stand before the Lord or kneel before the Lord and show that we've invested everything he gave. I'm talking about investing everything he gave. This is where I am in trouble, and this is why I'm speaking to you like this. It's not just self-preservation, but it is because I have been in trouble. I am supposed to take back to the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Now, you could say the return is what I do in my life, how I apply the teaching, what I do with what he gave me, just how I've described, that's true. But how about a return is that I passed some gold on to you guys, and you did something with that gold. You see, I don't want to be someone, let's call it silver or bronze if Darren's dealing with it. But what I'm trying to say is that if I'm just throwing bits of silver out, what about this? Look, let me teach, let's spend half an hour, 2 hours at my house, an hour on a Sunday, 40 minutes on a Sunday. Not just me, what about the other people we had who are greater than me, greater than us? What about the people who have come to help us, people who invested time into our lives, not just because they're people, because God sent those people? What about maybe it was our parents who brought us up and gave us godly insight. I don't know what it is, but each time those people are giving us some silver and gold from the kingdom, and we're not supposed to just keep the silver and gold. So for me, we're going back personally again, I can't just keep going out giving gold and silver out and not expecting a return, because the Lord's telling me that he's not seeing a return on what I'm giving out. And I feel responsible for that. But what I mean is, the Lord wants to see multiplication. Let's look at it like accounting. He wants to see multiplication. He wants to see everything that was invested grow. He wants to see the stocks go up. He wants to see people come back and say, well, I've got the gold you gave me, and I did something with it. Because gold's no good unless it's tested. You need to know it's real gold. So you get something, someone gives you something, a nugget of gold or a silver or a gold coin, and it's tested through you. You try it, you apply it. You go through fire, you go through trial. You might not like the word trial, but at least it proves the testing of your faith is taking place, which is more precious than gold. And as your faith is being tested, you realize, oh, this is real gold. This works. This stuff, this is the real stuff. So Darren wasn't just throwing plastic bits of Monopoly money around. But sorry, not Darren, but I'm making it personal because I'm in trouble. But actually, it could be anyone. That person's not just throwing plastic bits of Monopoly or paper Monopoly money around. That person's giving us real insight or real things that we need. And that is real gold. I've tested it. Now go and invest it. Get it to someone else. Get it to someone else and let's see the gold multiply. Let's see a return on what God has given us. Amen? There's a day of reckoning coming. There's a day of judgment coming. That's what it is. It's a day of judgment. And no wonder the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking to Timothy, we don't need to turn to it, but you can write this down for your notes. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says that we're to entrust things that we've been told to faithful people. Entrust the things we've been told to faithful people. And then it says, who will be able to teach others also. When I look at that scripture, I see the gold system or the talent system in operation. The Apostle Paul saying, what I've given to you, what you've heard from me, the gold you've got from me, give some of that to faithful people, who then can go and teach others. And then we see the multiplication. Paul, Timothy, others. Faithful people. Then all the others. And what we need to see, and what God wants us to see here at Emmanuel, is a multiplication, a growth, for us to gain more than what we had, to do something with the Master's money, because it's not ours. It wasn't even ours to start with. We've been given it by our Father. The good, good Father. He's given us a deposit of our inheritance now, and it's like, hallelujah, thank you. But that wasn't just to spend and throw around and use a gold coin. You know what we do sometimes here? This is going off. But sometimes here, I've done it. We've all done it. You might not agree with me, but I believe we have. If we just throw gold round at each other. I know what you need to do. I can see you're struggling. Here's the gold. I got that from somewhere, but that person's not walking in it. And then this person gets the gold, And like, oh, I need to walk in peace. I need to walk in the peace that passes understanding. Thanks for that. And then they don't do anything with it. Then they see someone else who's not in peace. They go, oh, I know what you need to do. Yeah, here's what you need to do. And they throw the gold. We just throw gold round at each other. We see no return. God wants us to be people who build a return, who invest the good things He's given us wisely. He wants us to be people who are good accountants. We're grateful here to have Lisa as our accountant. She's been promoted as our treasurer and secretary. And she really does keep accounts. And she really does keep a track on everything. And you can't get past her. And that's good, because when we answer to the Charities Commission, we want to make sure that our accounts are in order. Now, in verse 19 of Matthew 25, let's see if I'm right. Yes. In verse 19, now if you're looking at an old King James, you'll have to help me here. Does it say settled accounts or does it say reckoned? Settled. In the King James. Okay. Well, never mind. Mine says settled too. Anyway, that word settled, it actually, I'm going to give you a Greek word now, because you love me giving you Greek words that I've Googled and that I found on the Blue Letter Bible. That word settled, it means to reckon. It means to reckon like in an account. It's the word is, you don't need to know this, it's not like in any, you don't need to remember it, but it's suahiro. Suahiro. And that word reckon in Greek is suahiro. And what it actually means, it's a commercial term. The other times that's used in the Bible, it's commercial. It's about transactions. It's about accounting. It's a bookkeeping phrase that means to look at the record, study the facts, to compare or count or to settle an account. It would normally be used like an accountant when they're looking at a profit and loss statement or when they're delving into accounts. That's what that actually means. So when the master comes back and he's going to reckon with his servants, he said, like before we have an AGM, we have to have our accounts looked at. For those that came to the AGM or have heard the AGM, Lisa goes through the accounts. She has to keep a good track on those accounts to make sure we're not in error, to make sure everything, even every penny, is accounted for. And that if when the inspector or the accountant comes, he has to look at that. And he doesn't just go, oh yeah, I like your figures. He delves, he looks, where did that come from? Where did that come from? How did that work? He's going into the details. When Jesus, and then he gives us a certificate that we have to have for the Charity Commission. That certificate says that he's found no error, discrepancy, or anything to be concerned about within the accounts. When Jesus comes back and looks at our accounts and what we've done with the gold, he's going to do that. He's the accountant of accountants. That's what I should have called the message. He's the accountant of the accountants. He's coming back to look at your accounts and he's going into detail. He's going to look at everything you were told. He's going to look at everything you were given. He's going to delve and say, let's see where that goes from. He's going to look at the big picture. He's going into detail. And I don't know if he's going to give you a certificate that says he's found nothing untoward. I don't think any of us are going to get away with that. But there is grace and there is mercy. But we need to be people that are doing something with what we've been given. The accountant of accountants, when he gives his version of what our accounts look like, there's going to be no error. Everything he says is going to be faithful, true, and accurate. He's never going to be satisfied with a shallow look at our accounts. This term really means the person's going into detail. They're reckoning, they're digging. They're looking into the actual accounts. And when I think about that, no wonder it's important that the small things count. It's not just the big picture. Lord, I became a minister for you. Lord, I served Emmanuel for you. Lord, I knew you'd call me to be a chaplain, so I became a chaplain. It's not just like, Lord, I knew you were calling me to business, and I've been a businessman all my life. It's not just then that he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because if we take all of that scripture into account and the original meaning, if we look at it, we know he's delving into the account. It's not the big picture he's looking at. He's going to say, did you do the things I said? He's going to look at the details. You know, most people want the big picture. They go after the big thing. If I can stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I became it. You know, there's quick and fast ways to get into ministry, and they don't make you anointed, and they don't make the Spirit come upon you, and they don't, God doesn't always back that up. There's quick ways. You can get a doctorate by applying to some diploma mill in America, and you can be a doctor of theology tomorrow. It means nothing to God. He's going into the accounts. He's going to look at what you were given, and he's going to look at what spiritual truths came from him, not Bible college or, and not that's not, some don't come from there. What I mean, he's going to look at what you were actually given, what's on his record of what your accounts should look like, and he's kept a very accurate record, and he's going to look at your record, and his record's going to be the one that stands. So every detail matters. The daily life of walking with Jesus really does matter. And I'm so grateful he doesn't let me get away with it when I don't do that. That he comes back and he makes things difficult or he makes adjustments because he knows that that account has to be looked at. And I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And we all say that and we've all amened that. Who wants to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant? Well, in that case, we're going to have to be good and faithful servants because he's not going to lie. So we're going to be good and faithful servants. We're going to start applying the things he's teaching on a daily basis. Now, if you're looking at accounts and you're an accountant, or if you're a someone who's responsible for bookkeeping and tracking the accounts of an organization, when you make a mistake, there's nothing worse than getting to end of financial year and finding out there was a mistake 8 months ago. And it's like, there's 3p missing from 8 months ago. You try and find 3p missing from 8 months ago is very difficult. But if we were wise, we'd go before the Lord on a daily basis and say, Lord, how am I today? Was I a good and faithful servant today? And if he says no, you weren't, you can put the account right really quickly. You're not going to find out at the end your accounts were all over the place. The mistake is going to be rectified. And there is a way to rectify it. It's, sorry, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I ask for your forgiveness. It was enough. And he will forgive you. And he may give you an opportunity to do something else with that or to invest that gold coin or silver coin properly. Amen? He's going to look at every column. In the book of Revelation, we've talked about it before. There's going to be many books opened. Really now, guys. I don't know how to put this, like to get you to really hear it. This is not a Sunday story. The problem with like Sunday school is we tell stories almost like they're the same as Postman Pat. Peppa Pig. Now a children's Bible story. We get the impression these are all this is reality, guys. That we serve a living God. And I'm telling you now, if it's written here and he's going to do it, he will do it. He's not going to change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today and forever. We need to be people that recognize those books are going to be opened and whatever is on his record is going to be accurate. Those records must be important because in Revelation, we've talked about it before, I don't want to go through it again, but in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, verse 12. You talk about all sorts of books that are opened. And in those books, there's going to be things written about us. Did the story he wrote match the story we lived? Did each day, maybe the book of your life has, you know, the big red book of This Is Your Life has each day written on it. And he's got down what he wants you to do that day and what's expected of that day. And then on the other side is actually what you did. And if you didn't do what he expected, at least fix it on that day. Don't let the accounts get into too much of an error. I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not. So let's be clear on this, because this can create a lot of fear. I'm not talking about whether you're saved or not. I'm talking about before the judgment seat of God, judgment seat of Christ. The thing about being judged by the accountant of the accountants is that he accounted properly for what he was called to do, and he did it all properly, therefore we have no excuse before him. If you have a rubbish accountant and he comes and finds an error in your work and he's absolutely rubbish, you go back and find an error in his work. You'll find no error in the work of Jesus Christ. He did what his master, his father called him to do. He was standing before an accountant who walked the walk and talked the talk. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. If anyone's work, in verse 14, if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I'd rather not be saved through fire, but I'd rather be saved, full stop. So don't matter which way it's going to go, I want to be saved. I want to be with him. I want to know him. I want to walk with him. Carol was talking to me this week. She said, I don't know about all the post-trib, pre-trib, how it all works, but all I know is that I want to be ready and I'm going to go through whatever Jesus wants me to go through, whether it's the easy way or the hard way. She picked the picture that she was going to go for the long haul. And if she has to die, well, hallelujah, at least I'll be with him. If I don't have to die and all that rapture stuff takes place, which is, anyway, everyone has their own view, then that's fine. She'll go on with that. But she's in it for the long haul. I think we all should adopt that attitude that whatever happens, I'm in it for the long haul. I want to be saved. I'd rather it not by fire, but I want to be saved. But I am talking about giving an account to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus expects something from our gifts, the teaching we've been given, the insights, the talents, the abilities, and the assignments we've been given. I don't mean the big assignments. I mean, could you do the little things that you're instructed to do? He's looking at the detail of the accounts. Ask him on a daily basis. And consider this question. If you were required to stand before Jesus today and to answer for your personal record, what would the records reflect about you? I'll say that again. If you were required to stand before Jesus today and to answer for your personal record, what would the records reflect about you? God is loving. He is kind. He is merciful. But how God lines up with you now or in the judgment depends on how you are with him. If you want to find the loving God we talk about, then you be faithful to walk with that loving King that he is. If you put yourself against him in pride, then you'll find out that he can be quite severe. I think his severity is also linked to his love. Because the Bible clearly tells us he wants no one to perish. That is not his intention. He wants everyone to repent and to walk with him. That is love. To reflect, George will play us a song. The words in the song, they may link. Well, one of the verses do. I want you to consider what I've shared in the midst of that. And I want you to really ask the Lord to just allow it to take, even by grace, to take good, you know, to go into good soil, for the seed to go there, and for it to start to be watered, and for it to become something. He loves you. But say, I love you. He loves you. And he wants you to make it. I do need to repent and change my stance. I've been too soft in areas. And I don't mean soft because I want to be I want to be horrible. I want you to make it. And we can't settle for anything that's second best. Let's remove the distractions. Christianity isn't about how well George sings or I preach. Christianity is about Jesus Christ and what he wants to do. Christianity isn't about how you feel on a Sunday or all the things in your life that you think are important. Christianity, true Christianity, is about the one whose name is in that statement, Christ, Jesus Christ, the one who we are all, every person, all, no one's getting out of this. It's something we all have to do. You might have an option with the vaccine, with the COVID vaccine. You might get to choose whether you pay your taxes or not. I don't know. But you will not get to choose whether you are before the Lord Jesus Christ in judgment. It will happen. So as we listen to this song, consider the things that I have said that came from him.
Clear the stage and set the sounds and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few, then have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken from your sins, you can't be social. But seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store, and know that great is your reward. So just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to and still get it wrong, 'cause worship is more than a song. Sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg and please to clear your ears to hear and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine a light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to, but still is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. And clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. Anything I put before my God is an idol. And anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. Anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to. Yes, I can sing all I want to. And we can sing all we want. Sing all we want. stage and set the sounds and lights ablaze. If that's the measure we must take to crush the idol.